It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show.
928-854-5687. That's 854-5687.
Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoy.
Yes, I was, and somebody that I haven't seen in the studio, oh my gosh, for ages, and it's not really your fault, it's the summer vacation thing.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Rebecca Stone, our Lake Havasu Unified School District Superintendent, so good to have you here.
It's so great to be here.
I know, and anyway, welcome back to the show, and you're one of our devoted streaming listeners.
I am.
You like to listen in the office.
I do.
Nice. I need to repeat that because, sometimes you kind of take that part of the broadcast or webcast for granted, but people are catching on.
It's out there. It's easy to find.
Right.
Streams without an issue.
Our sister station, KJJJ, there's a woman downstairs in our building that listens to the stream, and she calls in during the contests and all that. So, yeah, people do listen via live streaming. Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. It's Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. Really been looking forward to this show today. I've got a friend trying to call me on my personal cell. Imagine that. Obviously, he doesn't listen to the stream. And anyway, we've got Dr. Stone here, or Dr. Becky, as I like to call her. And you don't mind that.
No, I think that's great.
It's been so long, I have to remind people, Dr. Becky's here. And at the bottom of the hour, calling in, we'll take a break, and then we'll have conservative gubernatorial candidate for the state of Arizona, Matt Salmon, on the show again. And we'll get an update from Matt as to what's happening in his campaign. I don't want to say Mr. Salmon because I can walk up to him, shake his hand, and say, hey, Matt, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. So anyway, going to be a great show today. And I need to start with some housekeeping. The Arizona Diamondbacks at Pittsburgh, still 4:05 p.m. start, and that is true for tomorrow as well. And then Friday they move on to almost your neighborhood, the Philadelphia Phillies, pretty close to that metro. I don't know, is it anymore?
It's a ways.
Yeah, but don't you have Philly and Atlantic City, and then it's kind of the...
That's on the Maryland side.
It's on the Maryland side.
Yes.
Okay, because you're from Virginia.
Virginia.
Okay, but that whole metroplex, I mean, you could go from Maryland to Virginia to Washington, D.C., and there's another state in there I'm probably forgetting too, right? Mm. I played in Annandale a long, long time ago. I played soccer there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
On a travel team. So, all right. And then Saturday, big triple header. We've got Nebraska and Illinois with Big Ten football. That's at 9:30 is the pregame. Diamondbacks at Phillies at 3:05 in the afternoon. And then we'll join the Cardinals and the Drew Brees-less Saints. That's really weird to not see Drew Brees on the field this year. But Cardinals at Saints at 5 p.m., we'll join that in progress on Saturday. So lots of sports coming your way, including on Sunday morning, now the fantasy football forecast at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings through the season, if you're into fantasy football. So anyway, that's on 980 a.m., 94.3 and 100.5 FM, KNTR Sports. Welcome to the team. One really quick item here, Dr. Becky. They've got free COVID-19 testing and free COVID shots today until noon at the Havasu Community Health Foundation Food Bank, 1980 North Kiowa Boulevard. Again, today until noon, public is welcome, no appointment necessary. If you have any questions, 453-8190. And then I asked you about the first week of school earlier, and you're like, I don't know, that was like 4 weeks ago. I'm like, what? I mean, yeah. I remember when the Jerry Lewis telethon signaled we had to go to school the next day, you know? But you've been in classes for a while.
We start very early. We started on August 2nd, and it was awesome to have the first day of school. I mean, I know I've arrived here about a year and a half ago, but last year was definitely not a typical year. So this year was typical opening, all of our students back on the first day, and it was really just great to see as you go around to all the schools and the excitement that the first day of school brings with it.
Right. What are we looking at numbers-wise? I saw some preliminary numbers in the paper, but now that we're 3-4 weeks in, how are we doing there numbers-wise?
So 3 or 4 weeks in, we are back to our pre-pandemic numbers. So those students who did need to be out for a year during COVID, they have returned, or new students have come into the area, but our enrollment is definitely up. We're very excited about that.
Up as in, do you have any percentage-wise, or are we talking a lot in the elementary level? Are we talking quite a bit at the high school level, or just, you know, slight increases?
It's really across the board.
Really?
Being up, and we were probably down around 211 students the previous year, and this year we're up about 250 students.
That's a 450-student swing.
Which is great.
Nice. What do you attribute that to?
Some of it I attribute to people being out of school for the year based on COVID. Some I attribute to, I think the community had a lot of folks moving in that have children, so they have enrolled in the schools at this time. Those are the two big things that played into that.
Okay. And let's see, the high school, we've got sports starting up.
Sports are starting.
Yeah. Is there sports at the middle school level?
There are sports at the middle school level. They are not under all of the AIA rules, but they do work with all of our surrounding middle schools to have a sports season.
Oh, okay. And high school, you've got football starting, not this Friday, but next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have it on KNTR Sports, the AM, 980
awesome.
AM, so people in Lake Havasu can hear it, but you can also hear it outside the area on the stream, KNTRSports.com. So that'll be nice.
Okay.
Get back on the football field. There's at least 10 games this year.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Unless we make the playoffs.
Running a full schedule. Unless we make the playoffs. That's the plan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. How are things going with the new field in that? The renovated field. What are we looking at? The third year, fourth year now?
I'm not sure how many years.
You weren't here before that, I know.
But I do know everyone loves the field. It's amazing. The turf has held up mm-hmm. very well. Everybody loves coming. Obviously, the views are spectacular.
Have you gotten to get out there, put your sneakers on, and check it out a little bit, or do the walking track thing?
I have been out there for our evenings of excellence, for our graduation, out for those kinds of things. I have not been out there with sneakers.
Oh, no. Oh, great.
Maybe someday.
One of those that walks out on the basketball court with high heels, too, right?
There's that.
I don't mean to throw you under the bus, or especially the school bus. I'm just saying. Okay, so we've had Jamie Festa Daigle in mm-hmm. here in the past when she was running the personnel or human resources department about
yes.
substitutes. Is that still a critical issue?
Absolutely. Substitutes continue to be an area where we are trying to recruit anyone who's willing to come in and spend some time with our amazing kids. It takes a little bit of time. As you know, we have to do fingerprinting and make sure that they have a certification from the state. But we can help anyone who's looking to do that and hook them up with our The contracted company who we actually work with is called ESI, and they contract with all of the substitutes and then provide them for our classes. But we can certainly facilitate that process if anyone is interested.
And that is interesting. And I want to give out the phone number in case anyone has a question for you or later on Matt Salmon. 854-KNTR 928-854-5687 is the number. And we're talking to Dr. Rebecca Stone, or Dr. Becky, from the Lake Havasu Unified School District. She's a superintendent. You mentioned certified for superintendent. Does that mean you have to be certified, or you help them get their certification, or both?
So for substitutes, we would help them get their certification. It's not a full teaching certificate. It's that you meet the criteria of having a bachelor's degree, and then as you keep that certificate, it's just getting professional development through the school system to make sure you have all the latest information necessary to be in our classrooms.
I got you. Is that the only – I saw where there were staff that you needed as well, not just substitute teachers.
So I will tell you that the biggest area that we are struggling with staff is our classified staff. So bus drivers, custodians, anyone looking for those types of positions, we would love to hear from you. You can apply on our website. In terms of bus drivers, if you have a CDL,
right,
then we can certainly facilitate you driving a school bus quickly. We can also help as people go through the process of getting a CDL, if they need that as well.
I was going to ask about that because a lot of people, even though they have a clean driving record, they may not meet that CDL requirement or
right.
Class A, I think it is. I'm not sure what class it is in Arizona. But is that a long process to get the CDL, do you know?
It's not very, very long, but it does take a lot. There are some practice classes and taking a test and things of that nature.
Right. So when you say help, are you talking about like paying for half of it, paying for all of it, paying for some of it?
We can't pay for the CDL license. We can facilitate getting them into the training classes and things of that nature before they take the test.
I see, because some districts do. That's why I'm asking. But now, as far as substitute teachers go, how much work can a person expect as a substitute for the Lake Havasu Unified School District?
If someone were really motivated, they could work every day of the week. If they only want a specific school, they might only work a couple of days a week. But if you were open to any school, any of the 8 schools, and you were really motivated to work with kids, you could work every day.
That's interesting because I'm thinking, you know, whereas I probably don't have the patience to work with second and third graders, but high schoolers, yes, and I'm sure there's many of me out there.
Mm-hmm.
When you say all 8 schools, that's very interesting.
You can choose. You can choose to work, like you said, at a specific school, specific grade level, or you could choose to be – actually, all the jobs pop up, and you decide on that day which one you would like to take.
So you had a lot of security updates on your campuses lately. How has that worked out for the district? Is it what you thought it would be? Are the campuses as secure as you'd like them?
So far that it's been very positive. They are secure in terms of when people enter our facilities. They do need to go straight to a greeter or the person at the front desk to then figure out where they need to go and what they need access to. And then that person can grant them access into the building. In terms of the fences around the buildings, that provides security for people coming in. Students can always get out. There are panic bars on the doors on the inside,
oh,
so they
you.
Aren't locked, so you cannot not get out. You can get out without an issue.
Sure. Very interesting. And what else? What are some of the challenges this year that you're faced with the district? As opposed to last year, there were a lot of challenges, right?
True. It is still a COVID year, so we are dealing with things that come up in terms of there are positive cases. When we receive a positive case, we are trying to let everyone know so they can self-monitor and make those decisions. We have information on our website that people can go and look and find testing sites, vaccination sites. They can also see the most updated information from the health department in terms of community spread, both from our actual city and then the county as a whole. So that's kind of the biggest challenge right now. One of the things is everyone still kind of talks about masks, no masks. As you know, there is a law that was passed that you cannot require masks for in-person instruction.
Executive order or a law. Right, right, right.
And so while we don't require them, they are certainly welcome to wear them. Any visitor, any staff member, any student, we have masks available on buses and in our nurse's office if anyone needs support with that. And other than that, we are super excited. It's a challenge and an excitement of putting our new curriculum in place, K-8, and our teachers are just working so hard at looking at all the materials, making sure all the lessons match what is in that curriculum that we adopted last
year.
What
is that new curriculum?
So our curriculum is Core Knowledge.
Okay.
It was originally at Oro Grande, and they use that as part of the Classical Academy. The Classical Academy has other special characteristics, but all of the schools can use the Core Knowledge curriculum.
I got you. I got you. So you mentioned the V word, the vaccination word, and the mass in that. And there's an ongoing story involving the governor's office where the governor wants to provide funding for schools only that don't require masks, that don't have a mask requirement. I don't know if this is political with Kathy Hoffman or whatever, but has there been any communication between the district and the governor's office regarding such funding?
No, that funding is for schools that did not receive more than $1,800 per student in their ESSER funds. We actually did, so it is not a source that we would qualify for at all, so there's no communication with us.
See, I knew Dr. Becky would have the answers. Great one. Great, great answer. All right. I'm Paul Lavoie. We're with Dr. Rebecca Stone from Lake Havasu Unified School District. She's the superintendent. I forgot what kind of music that you like because you haven't been here in quite a while. And so I'm picking country right now.
Okay, great.
All right. So here's some whiskey glasses from Morgan Wallen. I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll be back with more Speak Out in a moment. Stay with us. Little Dwight Yoakam on this Wednesday. Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Mojave Mortgage, also Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Horizon Community Bank, and our newest sponsor, Thane O'Brien, was spot on. It's a company that helps with credit card transactions for any size business. Call Thane 928-706-2784 or send an email to tobryan@spoton.com. That's T. O'Brien with an E at spoton.com. And Dr. Becky, thank goodness for bifocals. Did you see me get
those
in
are helpful.
This is really small copy, and I did it to myself. That's a self-inflicted wound there. I know we can't show it on the radio, but I'm probably looking at about 8 or 9 point copy.
Yes, you can definitely make that bigger.
The other ones are big. The Thane O'Brien script is, pretty small. So, anyway, thank goodness for bifocals. You can just get in there, right?
Yes.
All right. Speaking of which, can students expect or parents expect their kids to be tested for, like eye exams, basic eye exams, basic hearing, and that sort of thing?
So we have 45-day screenings, which is for any new student to the district. So our kindergartners and then any new student in any other grade level, we get those basic kind of hearing, vision, fine motor, gross motor. They check all those things just to make sure if we need to make some sort of referral.
Right.
Like we're seeing some vision concerns, you should see your eye doctor or hearing concerns.
I need a new prescription, and I'm getting it.
Excellent.
They're being fabricated as we speak. So.
But it's a good tool. So.
So what about those students that may have trouble communicating speech-wise?
We also do speech screening. same thing. And then if they needed additional support, we do have speech therapists both in the district. And then we now have a contracted service where that's provided virtually as well.
Okay. I think we have Matt Salmon on the line. Hold on. Great. Is that you, Matt?
It is. Hi.
Okay. Hi. I'm just finishing up with our school superintendent here in Lake Havasu City, so I'll get back with you in just a moment. Thank you. And that's conservative gubernatorial candidate Matt Salmon. He's running for governor of Arizona. But how much do parents, or how much can parents depend on that type of screening, or if a student has to work with a speech pathologist? Is that something the district does once a week, twice a week when they're working with kids? Do you know?
For speech therapy, that is determined by the if that is a need, the student gets an individualized plan, and the parent and the speech therapist and a whole team of folks work together to determine how often they need that service and for how much time.
Oh, nice. And I've seen some really great results from speech pathologists that are provided by the education system in that. Do kids... well, when they were wearing the mask, were there communications issues or anything like that? What people talk about, I don't know if they're making a big deal of the kids couldn't read each other's facial expressions. Do you think that was an issue at all?
Honestly, we did not experience that. There weren't any massive miscommunications because of that in any manner.
Sure, sure. And for the district as a whole this year, how does the outlook look? How's the outlook for the district? You have more students, obviously. You just need more teachers, right?
We have more students. We always need more teachers. We have an amazing new curriculum. We're going to work on 9-12 curriculum this year as well. So the outlook in general is just extremely positive. We're very excited to have everybody back in and working and moving forward.
So last question, and I didn't ask you this before, but is there any outreach to retired teachers or teachers you know that are in the community that may have moved on to another career?
Absolutely. We always reach out to those people. As you said, Jamie was here earlier, and Jamie knows just about everyone who has retired in the last 4 or 5 years, and she does reach out to see if maybe they're just bored enough in their retirement that they want to come back.
I bet she does. I bet she wants to go back to teaching. I know how much she loved the classroom.
Yep.
So especially the those classes in government and U.S. Constitution and history and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
She's a very, very, very well thought of in the community.
And I will tell you, that's one of the greatest things about our district office is we have people that served in the teaching role in our district and have moved forward, and they are so passionate about our kids and our community.
Perfect. You need to come back and see us more.
Absolutely.
All right. Back with more in a moment. We're talking to Lake Havasu Unified School District Superintendent, Dr. Rebecca Stone. Thanks for being here, Dr. Becky.
Thank you for having me.
Always appreciate the visit. And we'll come back with more in a moment with conservative gubernatorial candidate Matt Salmon of Arizona. Stay with us. We can take your phone calls as well. 928-854-5687 if you want to talk to Matt Salmon. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us. All right, we're back on Speak Out. A little more Dwight Yoakam, Fast As You. Speak Out brought to you in part by Connected Computer and Technology, Mojave Community College, GDK CPA LLC, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, Curbs Herbs, SunPower by SMA Electric, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, Bobby and Julie Lewis, Brian Besley, and Lori Rule. And my pleasure again to have on the show Matt Salmon. He's a conservative candidate for Arizona governor. I have to ask you this question, Matt, because we met at the Republican picnic, so I feel confident in calling you Matt, if that's okay with you.
No, I love being called Matt. The only thing I don't like being called is, hey, you, or hey, dummy, or Matt's great.
Or Mr. Salmon.
Mr. Salmon. They call my dad that. Nobody calls me that.
So there is another Salmon that Bobby Lewis reminded me of, Tim Salmon, who played baseball for the California Angels or the Anaheim Angels or whatever they are now, and was on the World Series team in 2002. You had a great story about that off the air.
Yeah, it's really funny because when I ran for governor in 2002 and people were going to the, a lot of Arizonas were going to the World Series there in California, the Angels game, and they were holding they were holding Salmon for Governor signs. And as Tim was coming out, people were chanting Salmon for Governor, and he thought they were talking to him. And then they told him that it was actually me they were supporting, and he got a big laugh out of it. Anyway, fast forward several years later, we were at a funeral. And we happened to be at the same funeral together, and he started asking everybody, hey, where's Matt Salmon? I got to meet this guy. And he comes up to me, and he said, you're Matt Salmon. And he told me the story, and we both got a big chuckle out of it. He is one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life, just a great human being besides being a great player.
Matt, what's he doing? What's Tim Salmon doing now?
So I know he's still working in the Angels organization, but he's also coaching high school baseball. And that's what he told me at the time. And so he's actually living here in the Valley. And as you probably remember, he played for Grand Canyon University. And everybody that knows him says that he's just a prince of a guy, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And I will verify that, in my conversation with him. And I got to chat with his wife, too. They're just a wonderful couple.
Wow, how cool is that for a high school student to get to play for, probably not a Hall of Famer, but definitely a notable name like Tim Salmon of the Angels. So that's just a great story. But the reason why we're talking to Matt Salmon, folks, is this Department of Justice investigation kind of has slipped under the rug, if you will, by the weapons of mass distraction, I call it, by the Biden administration. But this DOJ investigation of the Phoenix Police Department, and Matt, you have a very interesting take on this.
I'm very, very skeptical because I believe it's just a backdoor way to try to defund the police, mm-hmm. and at its worst and at its best, a way to nationalize our police. There was a stealth strategy a while back for the city of Phoenix to create this Office of Accountability and Transparency. It's called OAT. And it's the brainchild of the defund the police proponent, which is established during the whole chaos of the pandemic. But anyway, they went and complained to DOJ, and then Merrick Garland ends up coming out and saying that they're going to investigate, do a full investigation from DOJ of the Phoenix Police Department. And the person leading it up, her name is Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark. She said at a press conference that they would identify the best remedies for local police to comply with and then threaten to bring litigation if they don't agree. Well, that sounds more like a railroad job to me.
Right.
It also, this woman wrote an op-ed last year titled in part, Defund the Police. This is the Assistant Attorney General that is headed over this investigation. And as far as I'm concerned, this couldn't come at a worse time. Right now, recruitment of police officers is way down, and I believe at the city of Phoenix, they're down about 400 cops because they don't feel like the public has their back. I mean, after this BLM stuff over the last year and everybody talking about taking away qualified immunity for the police and setting up these special review boards with political overtones, mm-hmm. To question every time they get engaged in a shooting. You know, it used to be with law enforcement, the most important concept by far over everything else was that the law enforcement officer comes home alive at the end of the day, alive, safe, and well.
Sure.
And that's where I'm at. I've always been pro law enforcement my whole life, and I've had a lot of friends who are cops, and they do a wonderful job protecting our communities. And right now, all they do is get kicked in the face and assume that all of them are a bunch of police brutality guys. It's wrong, and we've got to do a better job standing up and defending the blue. And this investigation is nothing but a sham, and we ought to call it what it is.
I can think of other departments that I would investigate if I were Merrick Garland. I mean, you've got a record number of homicides in the Chicagoland area. You've got Milwaukee was the center of attention for God knows how long with the rioting they had there, and then the brutality case that was prosecuted. Why Phoenix? That's what I'm asking. Why would you concentrate on Phoenix?
You know, it doesn't make sense at all. First of all, Jerry Williams, who is the police chief of the city of Phoenix, you couldn't find a more diverse police chief. She's an African American female, and she climbed up through the ranks through the city of Phoenix. She's a wonderful leader. You know, I've got nothing bad to say about her at all. And the law enforcement folks that work under her, they have nothing but praise for her. And as part of this whole debacle, she ended up getting suspended for a day, and three of her leaders got demoted. You know what? This is a time when we need to be standing up and supporting our law enforcement, and not undergoing some kind of a sham investigation that's whole goal is to try to undermine the confidence in our law enforcement people and really try to move toward this, like I said, defund the police movement. It's crazy, and it couldn't be further from what our public needs.
Matt, I'll take it a step further. I think they're pushing for a nationalized police force.
Yes, yes. In fact, that's what I said earlier, Paul, is that at worst, I think they're trying to defund the police. At best, I think they're trying to nationalize the police force and basically have a one-size-fits-all. And I'll tell you what, if I'm governor, I'm going to fight that one with everything that I got, because I'll be damned if I want to see our police force acting like the ones in Seattle right now or San Francisco.
Yeah, what better way to grow the government than to create a bunch of police that are government employees, right?
Well, and you know what? If they're reaching out there and, you know, asking everybody how they feel about, what's going on, instead of breaking up, these crime rings and gangs and getting in and doing what needs to be done to protect us and make our streets safe, I just shudder to think that, if we get to the point where nobody wants to be a cop anymore, where are we going to be as a nation? And right now, the cops don't feel that we've got their backs. And I think we need to have leaders that stand up and call it like it is and say, you know what? If I'm in charge, I am going to have your back 100%. We're going to do everything we can to stand up for you.
Yeah, well, I can't help but remember when the administration kind of backed off of that defund the police language. And I think the public's a little bit smarter than that, Matt Salmon. I think the public is smart enough to know where the liberals or the leftists stand on defunding the police.
Well, what they'll do, again, as this Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark said, is that we'll come up with best remedies. So that's basically saying, if you want not to be prosecuted by us, if you don't want us to thump you on the head, then these are the things you have to do. And if you don't, then we're going to bring litigation. Well, what kind of an incentive is that? Do you not believe in local control or the idea that maybe what works in Washington, D.C. doesn't necessarily work here in Phoenix, Arizona?
Right. Again, we're talking to Arizona candidate for governor or gubernatorial candidate, Matt Salmon. You can talk to him as well just because he's on the phone. Matt is on our guest line, and you can call the Speak Out Talk line at 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687 if you want to talk to Matt Salmon. I want to shift a little bit over to Afghanistan. I know if defunding the police gets you hot under the collar, I know this one's going to get you really heated. And you formerly served in Congress.
I served in Congress for a total of 10 years.
Right, Matt.
Served on the Foreign Affairs Committee the whole time.
What are your people that your friends that are maybe serving on that committee now? What are they telling you as far as this pullout goes with Afghanistan?
That it's a complete embarrassment for the country on a global basis. You've got Xi Jinping, the president of China, mm-hmm. coming out and telling the people of Taiwan, look what happens when you count on the U.S. to be your partner. They abandon you when you need them the most. And, our enemies across the globe, whether it's Putin in Russia or Kim Jong-un in North Korea, it's only emboldened them to show them that, we're not committed to staying the course. And look, Biden completely screwed this up in a horrible fashion. And as a result, we saw the horror that unveiled itself on the television as the people tried to cling to the aircraft and fell to their death. And now we've got tons of Americans there. I agree 100% with what President Trump said the other day. He said, Joe Biden gave our enemies all around the world a great and lasting victory when he unexpectedly and inexplicably removed our great soldiers from Afghanistan before taking our U.S. citizens and allies.
Right, right. And this is something that could affect you personally if you become governor. You'll likely be faced with a significant refugee crisis, both from border crossings and relocating displaced Afghans in the U.S. So how do you propose we deal with this if you're elected governor?
Well, first of all, I think the top priority is to make sure that we protect and evacuate our Americans that are there. And most of them are still in harm's way. And we've got to do everything we can to focus our attention on getting them out. Mm-hmm. And then there are the men that, and women that served alongside our military forces, that we made commitments to them. And I believe we have to follow through on our word. However, let me be clear. I have zero confidence in the competence of the Biden administration to vet Afghans, as they demonstrated nothing but weakness. And just as bad, a year ago, we had the border secure under President Trump, and now with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they've created a total chaos at the border. Everything they've touched has turned to you-know-what, caca. And so
right.
I have zero confidence in their ability to vet. And let's walk back again to 9/11. And I think most of us remember what we were doing on that day. But the fact is that terrorists were able to infiltrate here into the United States. Some of them actually trained right here in Arizona. And the last thing in the world that we need to have is terrorists back here in Arizona again. So I'm very concerned about that. And like I said, I have zero confidence in the Biden administration to be able to vet adequately. And so the safety of our folks in our country is the most important thing to me.
Okay, Matt, we have a phone call from a listener. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Salmon, I appreciate your passion. There's some fundamental questions here that make absolutely no sense. They're breaking the law. Why can I not go to Washington and say, you're breaking the law? You need to quit or a citizen's arrest? Somebody has got to explain to us, if I break the law today, I can get arrested. Well, they opened our borders. It's against the law. It's against the sovereign nation of Arizona. And they're not removed. Our governor has done some good things, but I don't think he's done enough. What can we do to address the laws are being broken? You need to be punished. And I'll listen off later. Thank you.
That's a great question. Thanks, caller.
That is a great question. I actually spent about 45 minutes yesterday speaking with Governor Abbott of Texas, who's doing some really great things in enforcing the border. And I think that you're 100% right. We have our sovereign border as well. And in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, it basically says that the United States government has to protect us from invasion. Well, if we're not seeing an invasion going on right now, I wonder what an invasion is. And so we have a responsibility to stand up for our sovereignty as well. I'll tell you what. The first press conference that I hold after I'm governor is going to be with a post hole digger on the border, recommencing the building of that wall. If the federal government's not going to get it done, we're going to get it done. And I talked to Governor Abbott. They're doing the same thing in Texas, and we're going to have to figure out a way to get that done ourselves. And if the federal government wants to try to challenge us, well, we'll fight them all the way to the Supreme Court. I do believe that the Constitution's on our side, as the gentleman who called aptly pointed out. You cannot be a nation that doesn't have a rule of law. You can't be a nation that doesn't respect the fundamental order of a society that doesn't have laws. So anyway, I'm 100% in agreement. And one of the other things that I believe we can do is beef up our trespass laws in the state of Arizona, mm-hmm. so that our officers can go ahead and apprehend. I'll tell you the other thing, we're incurring over $100 million of expense a year incarcerating people who have come across the border illegally and then committed Arizona crimes, state crimes, and then we have to incarcerate them. I'll tell you, one of the first things I'm going to be doing is sending a bill to the federal government because they're not doing their job. We've got to take the fight to them. We've got to have a governor that puts Arizona first. We've got to have a governor that actually is not afraid of taking on Washington, D.C. That's how our founding fathers set up the government. That's why they created the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, which says explicitly everything not authorized in this Constitution is given to the states and the people.
Sure.
And that's mostly everything that happens in our lives. And we have a right to assert ourselves, and we have a right to fight this. And I do believe that's a worthy fight worth fighting all the way to the Supreme Court. And we're going to do it time and time again until the federal government gets it. And I'm going to try to find like-minded governors to work with me to try to file suits together.
All right, Matt, we're a little limited on time. We've got about 4 minutes left, and we have another call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Paul, this is Steve Timonello with the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I wanted to call in and say hello to you and to Matt Salmon today.
Hey, Steve, how are you? Matt, can you hear Steve okay?
I can. Hi, Steve.
Steve, do you have a question?
Doing great. Great, thank you. I was in a meeting and I stepped out because I didn't want to miss the opportunity to call in, Matt. I really enjoyed seeing you at the 77th Annual Republican Picnic up on Wallapai Mountain, and I know Sheriff Mack was happy to see you, that you've been longtime friends, and you supported Sheriff Mack and the CSPOA, and we support you as well, so...
Well, I don't think there's been a more constitutionally minded sheriff in the history of America than Sheriff Mack, and having his support means a great deal to me. I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Sheriff Mack, I shudder to think what would have happened to our Second Amendment rights. He's one of the greatest patriots that's ever lived, and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Steve.
And I know that you're a big 10th Amendment advocate.
Yes, sir.
And that's how he saved the Second Amendment, was with the 10th Amendment, as you know.
That's right. That's right. He was able to assert the 10th Amendment to save it. And we had a great conversation there when I was visiting Mojave a few weeks ago. But I'll tell you what, it's going to take that kind of firepower, using the Constitution to our benefit. I believe that our founding fathers had it right. They understood that most of the power resided in the states. That's how they set it up. That was one of the separations of powers. We think of separation of powers, we think of judicial, executive, and legislative. But there's also a vertical separation between the federal government and the states, and the states are the seat of most of the power. And we've got to assert that power. We've got to take our government back.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Steve. We're running really short on time.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Matt.
Hey, we appreciate the phone call. I do want to get to one more question, Matt, and it's about the U.S. Supreme Court and that decision that came down about the Mexico or stay in Mexico policy. Were you surprised by that?
Pleasantly surprised, because they came back and they basically stayed the order, and they said that President Trump's policy of remain in Mexico needed to stay in place. It actually was one of the best things that the Trump administration did. I mean, building the wall was obviously, a great, great thing. But the stay in Mexico policy, I think, really helped us be able to curtail a lot of the activity at the border. And I was surprised, but pleasantly surprised. Also, the Supreme Court a few weeks ago upheld our ban on ballot harvesting, in spite of the fact that the National Democrats tried to overturn it. The Supreme Court stayed with us. Again, it was on a states' rights issue, and they sided with us, both on our ban on ballot harvesting, as well as the law that said if you don't vote in the right precinct, your vote doesn't count. And that gives me courage that this is a panel of judges that actually does understand and values the Constitution. And it gives me heart that we can start challenging more and more things and taking them up to the Supreme Court and hopefully reverse some of these really horrible national policies that are in place right now that just basically step all over the states.
Right. I think the pleasant surprise to me was that it was a 6-3 decision. It wasn't,
right.
It wasn't 5-4.
Not even close.
Right. Anyway, Matt Salmon, always good to talk to you. And where can people get more information or sign your petition?
Well, they can go to my website, which is mattsalmon4az.com. And that's F-O-R, not the number 4.
Right.
mattsalmon4az.com. And remember, salmon is with an L, just like the fish, S-A-L-M-O-N.
All
and
right.
Like Tim Salmon.
Yeah, perfect. As we come full circle, as Jen Psaki would say, right?
That's right. Hey, thanks a ton.
All right. Thanks, Matt Salmon. We appreciate
All right. We
appreciate you on the program. All right. Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot on Speak Out. I'm Paul LaVoy. Stay with us.
Everything gets hotter when the sun goes down.
We're caught in a trap. Can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. On tomorrow's show, of course, sound advice with Brian Springberg. Brian will be back in the studio, live and in person, right here on KNTR Talk. And on Friday, we've got some updates from Mojave Community College. Don't have a full schedule yet of who's going to be in the studio, but we're hoping for Dr. Maria. All right, back with more tomorrow. Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News. I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.